on and turn to Daniel chapter 10. And the question is, who is the heavenly messenger in Daniel 10? So in verses 5 through 10, it appears to be Christ. And 10 through 14, it appears to be an angel. 16 through 19, some think it may be Christ. So who is it? So, kind of give you a background. It's been 4 years since chapter 9, when Daniel has, he has been praying, and Gabriel comes and he explains the 70 weeks that are determined against Israel. J. Vernon McGee says the last three chapters, 10, 11, and 12, should be treated as one vision. It relates to the nation Israel in the immediate future and also in the latter days. For example, there is a historic little horn and also the little horn of the latter days. So in this chapter, we're given a glimpse of the spiritual battle that is going on around us. The curtain is kind of pulled back and we get a glimpse of what's going on. We also see the ranking or positions among angels and demons, and we can be confident that that's something that is very much happening today. We're given a lot of details concerning the time, the location that this takes place. We find out it's the third year of Cyrus, which is 534 BC. Daniel is an old man at this time, probably in his 90s. And we see that it is in the 24th of, Nisan. He was by the Hittical River, which is the Tigris River. And this makes it very difficult for critics, because the critics say the detail and the accuracy of Daniel in the historical facts is so impressive that the critics will say it was written after the fact. So by him giving these specific dates, it points that it was earlier, and obviously that would be impossible except through God. So we see that Daniel had understanding. He understood the vision. It was true. It's going to take place. It was long, meaning the final fulfillment was in the distant future and not the immediate future. So let's read chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and he understood and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hittical, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with a fine gold of Ephaz, whose body also was like the beryl, his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou hast set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Below, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and he said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So as we start off, we see that Daniel has been mourning. We're not told exactly why he was mourning. Speculation would probably tell us that, again, this is the third year of Cyrus. If you remember the first year of Cyrus, according to the prophecy of the Lord, Cyrus made a decree that all those that were interested in going back to Jerusalem and rebuilding could go and do that. But unfortunately, only a few had left and gone back to Jerusalem, and they went with Zerubbabel. So this is before the group that would go with Ezra in rebuilding the temple, and the group that went with Nehemiah in rebuilding the wall. And in Ezra chapter 1, I'll read that decree. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let that men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So Cyrus has made this decree, and not many people had gone back. So you also have the previous chapter with the 70 weeks of the things that Israel was going to be going through. So we're not real sure exactly what is on Daniel's heart, as we're not told, but he was in mourning. He ate no pleasant bread, he had no meat to eat, and he did not drink any wine. Some people say he was fasting, but it still leaves a little bit open there for eating, and if you don't eat for a while, you'll find things that might not be pleasant, or they might not be meat or whatever. So I don't feel like he was fasting. Some feel like he was, but the scripture normally says he was when somebody's fasting. That's what it says. It also says he did not anoint himself at all. Some think this refers to him taking a bath. I'm not positive about that, but I don't exactly go with that one either, but I don't know. So we also see he's by the Tigris River. And so this is kind of the background of what's going on. So he's by the river, and he looks up, and he sees what it says, he saw a certain man. Many have been hesitant to identify this man because as you go through, the first part, again, appears to be Christ. The second part, obviously, can't be Christ. And so they kind of leave it. But we're going to take a look at it this morning, see what we can figure out. And I think as the ladies did their Bible study, which is where the question came from, I think someone said, Layman Strauss has said he first thought it was Christ. Later on in life, he thought it was an angel. Later on, he said he didn't know. So you kind of see the struggle there. But as we look at this man to see who he is, I think we're going to see that it is Christ. When Christ taught, we go through the Gospels and we see Christ teaching, and he uses a lot of parables. And in his parables, when he says a certain man, that man refers to either God the Father or God the Son. And that's, as we look here, we're going to identify this even further by the person and his dress. So as we look at how he's dressed in Daniel, we're going to compare this to Revelation. Turn over to Revelation chapter 1. Very strong similarities. And as it not necessarily being exact, you know, there obviously could have been some differences. This was quite a few hundred years time separation. But the other thing is you have two different people describing something, probably two different languages if John's using Greek versus the Hebrew. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had been burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last, I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. So as we compare these two, we see in Daniel that this certain man is clothed in linen. In Revelation, we just see that he's clothed, that Christ is clothed in a garment to the foot. In Daniel, we see that his loins are girded with a fine gold girdle, or a belt of fine gold was around his waist. And in Revelation, we see that it's a golden sash around his chest. That wouldn't immediately identify that it was Christ. When you get over to Revelation 15, 6, we see some angels that were in pure white linen, having their breasts girded with a golden girdle, or clothed in pure bright linen with golden sashes around their chest. So, again, that just the clothing is not going to completely identify Christ, but it adds to the picture. Then we see his body was like beryl in Daniel. And I guess the scholars, they said they have an idea what the beryl is in the Greek, but they have no idea what it is in the Hebrew. So we're not real sure what that is. So then we see in Daniel, his face is like the appearance of a lightning. Whereas Christ in Revelation, his face was like the sun shining in full strength. But if you look at the word for lightning, it is bright, flashing, or gleaming. So obviously that would fall in line with the appearance of Christ in Revelation. And then we have a strong similarity there. The next one, his eyes were like lamps of fire, and Revelation says they were like a flame of fire. I don't recall any other person, angel, being that is described in Scripture as having eyes as a flame of fire. His arms and his feet are the color of polished bronze. And Revelation says that his feet like fine brass or bronze as if burned in a furnace. And then his voice was like the voice of a multitude in Daniel. And in Revelation, his voice was like the sound of many waters. So we see this strong similarity of who this man is. And then we see the reaction between Daniel and John. Daniel says, "Then I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground." Pretty much he was unconscious. And then we see that John says he fell at Christ's feet as dead. Both of them, Christ reached and touched him, and the other one, we're going to see someone else touches Daniel. So another similarity to think of is Daniel alone saw the vision. The men with him, they did not see the man, but there was a great quaking that fell upon them, and they fled and hid. If you remember when Paul was on his he was heading towards Damascus, and Christ appeared to him, and the bright light, the men did not, they didn't see, they stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man, and a very similar reaction is there. So we see this resemblance of the man, and I believe the man that Daniel saw is the post-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one more thing that I think really stands out to identify who this is. So as we think of those times that Christ appears to people in the Old Testament, and sometimes they'll say as an angel or whatever, Christ always accepted worship. Angels do not accept worship. So that is one of the key things to look for when you have this description. But here's another one in, well, before I go there, remember in Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw the Lord, a thrice holy God. What did he say? He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And you remember Job. Job, when the Lord questions him. Now, at the beginning of Job, he was upright and righteous, probably the most upright, righteous man in all of the earth. And the Lord holds him up to Satan. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" At the end, when the Lord questions Job, what does he say? I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye has seen thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job 42, 5 and 6. So if you look at verse 8, depending on your translation, you have, it might not help you a lot. But the King James says, therefore, I was alone, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained in me no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Comeliness, grandeur, beauty, excellency, glory, goodly, honor, or splendor. Those things we all have, some aspect of that. And Daniel says that was turned into corruption. Essentially, Daniel was saying his goodness, his splendor, his glory was turned into corruption in front of this man. Who can make someone even think that way? It's only going to be God. Remember, God said our righteousness is as filthy rags. We realize our condition when we come into the presence of God, and I think that's another strong indication of who Daniel is in front of. Now, the certain man doesn't say anything to him. He does say something to him. We're not told what he says, because he talks about his voice as multitude. So Daniel is probably unconscious afterwards. He, like John, he fell at his feet, he's dead. But here, Daniel, it appears that he is probably unconscious as he's laying out. And then we have someone else. I don't think it's the same person. Well, actually, we just identified this as Christ. This can't be the same person, and that's what we're going to look at next. So someone touches him, sets him up on his knees and his hands, and tells him to stand up. And he tells Daniel he has been sent to him to make him understand what is going to happen in the latter days. This is an angel, and in all likelihood, it's probably Gabriel. Gabriel has already appeared to Daniel a few times in earlier. So it's a good possibility it's Gabriel. He is not named. So it might not be. That's obviously speculation. But does appear to be an angel. We know it can't be the Lord because he got held up for 21 days by the king of Persia. So this, we get into some interesting things. It's not the physical king of Persia. Obviously, a physical king could not hold an angel up. It just wouldn't happen. But demonic forces could. And that's kind of what we're going to look at here. Notice, notice that the Daniel's prayer is answered immediately, and that's in verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So his words were heard, and the Lord sent him. However, he was detained. So as we see from Scripture, the angels are in different orders, ranks, positions, have various powers and abilities. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So as the Lord created The angels, we know that the Lord, we're told he didn't have anything to do with chaos. He is very orderly, and he has set things up in order, and as we see that in Colossians there. So as the angels that followed Satan rebelled against the Lord, they also have various ranks and powers, and Satan has used those to his advantage in ruling the world. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2:2. In Ephesians 6:12, we read, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So these princes of, like the prince of Persia, at the end of the chapter is the prince of Greece. These are demons, fallen angels that are over countries. I'm sure they're controlling and influencing them as they are even today. As far as for the angels, they are at least, we don't know, obviously we're very limited on our knowledge of angels and demons and so forth. The angels that appear to be over countries appear to be called archangels. As we know, Michael is an archangel. He's over the country of Israel. Maybe more than one, we don't know. In Jude 9, he is called an archangel. And he contended with Satan over the body of Moses after he died. You remember that the Lord took Moses and the Lord buried him. Satan desired to take his body and obviously was going to use that for to probably cause Israel to go in idol worship more than likely. We don't know for sure, but anyway, Michael disputed with him over the body of Moses. And here the angel tells Daniel that Michael, your prince, indicating he is over Israel, as we also see in other passages. So this angel, he has been sent to answer Daniel, to help him, to give him the vision, to understand the things of the latter days. And when he, on his way there, he is hindered by the prince of Persia, or the demon of Persia, probably with his host of angels, and he ends up, Michael comes to his aid, and he is able to go on, come on to Daniel, and to deliver the message to him, which is obviously moving forward into the other chapters. So then we see the angel tells him what he's there for, and then in that leads us to verse 16 through 19. The Schofield says, verses 16 through 17, the Theophanies, which would be Christ being seen before his incarnation. So verse 16, "And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the visions my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as me, straightway there remained in me no strength, neither is there breath left in me." And then actually, verse 18, I would say, if you're going to try to tie that together. "And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou, therefore, that I come unto thee." So getting away from that, sorry. So twice we see the similitude of a man. That doesn't mean that this is not an angel. Doesn't mean that it's Christ. There's no indication that it's Christ that I see. If you will recall, Abraham was One day he sees three men coming. And so he goes and prepares a meal for them. It's the Lord and two angels. They talk with Abraham. They leave. The Lord stays, and Abraham intercedes for Lot because the Lord says that Abraham is my friend. Will not I tell him what I'm getting ready to do? And so he tells him he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham begins to intercede with the Lord. The two men leave and go to Sodom and Gomorrah. What does Lot see? He sees two men, which are angels, and they have come to destroy the city, but they have come to get him out. And if you look back in chapter 9, verse 21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So Gabriel appears in the form of a man. And we can be assured it's not a man because he's flying very swiftly. So that's a pretty strong indication he is an angel. And so we see that more than likely here, is this angel is also in the form of a man. So it appears that as we look at this first part, we see that it is Christ. We see the similarities between Daniel 10 and Revelation chapter 1, and we see those similarities of Christ, and we see those attributes that are not given to angels, of some of those being the eyes of flaming fire, his countenance, which we do see that with some angels, of the brightness, but we see specifically with here, and then we see the color of his skin and stuff that it talks about, but more importantly, we see the reaction of Daniel to the holiness of God and how that he says his comeliness has turned into corruption. And then we see the angel that reaches and touches Daniel, the one who is delivering the message to him. And it is very obvious that because Satan and his forces have detained him, that it cannot be Christ. So hopefully that's answered the question. Hopefully that's clear. So I'll open up if there's any comments or questions. And we don't really know, as we're not told. We know we're in a spiritual battle, as I read in Ephesians 6. How this works with us versus like with the Old Testament saints, obviously would be very interesting. We have the Spirit that indwells us, and the Spirit intercedes for us during prayer. I would not think our prayers will be hindered from Satan the same way. I guess the answers to the prayer. But some of that could still take place. But I think some of the dynamics have changed on some of that. But obviously we know it's still a spiritual battle that's going on. Is that I don't think it would be the same as it was before because of our relationship with Christ and so forth. But I'm sure we still know that spiritual battle is going on, and we do see the hindrance and the things that Satan does around us. We see that constantly. Well, it don't take too much to common sense be looking at the world around us and know what's going on. So, all right, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your great love for us. We just thank you for our Lord and Savior that would leave the realms of glory, come here to earth, and go to that cross and pay the penalty for us so that we could be reconciled back to you. As we just think of a holy God and a sinful and corrupt man, and yet you loved us enough to redeem us, to pay that price in full so that we could be reconciled back to you. And as we just look into these things through the spiritual realm, where you've opened a window a little bit for us to see things, we just ask that you just give us a better understanding to realize the things that are going on around us are not about us. There's a bigger picture that we need to be focused on, the things of eternity and not the temporal things around us. As we get caught up in the glitter and the busyness of life, and Satan so easily distracts us. So we just ask that you just help us to turn our focus towards you and to seek after you with all of our hearts, our souls, and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.